Welcome to the Youth Critic Retrospectives on the Youth Critic Network.
I have been witness to something. Something of consequence to you.
To me?
There's a great task needing to be done.
No doubt you've heard of our trouble at home.
A dragon. Fire and stench. It is evil.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Youth Critic Retrospectives. I am your host, Kale Smith. Joining me this week is Gina Versa from the Waffle Press.
Hey, how's it going? Good to see you, hear you as well. I'm glad you're safe and healthy.
Yes, so far.
So far, yes.
Yes. Thank you, Gene. And Gene, go ahead and tell everyone. So, what movie are we looking back to this week?
Oh, it is Dragon Slayer. It was an 80s movie. It's like kind of a cult movie, I guess, and it was on Amazon Prime where you could watch it. But the movie is like such a weird 80s film. Like, it's like, I had to like text you about it, and you like, oh, like on the spot, you're like, oh yeah, like this movie's nuts.
Yeah, so I saw the poster and I was like, oh, this is like a classic, like, it kind of reminded me of like Disney posters a little bit, of Disney fantasy posters. And then I came to find out this was a Disney co-production. So, and then I saw the trailer and I was like, oh yeah, I remember hearing people talk about this movie in good light. There was a lot of fantasy movies around this point, like Excalibur. Is Beastmaster one of them?
Beastmaster, Excalibur. I think there was like, I don't know, like a lot of like Ralph Bakshi stuff, like Ice and Fire. Anyone's heard of that? Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. Conan, of course.
Oh, yeah, Conan. Came out the year after this. So Gene and I are thinking, you know, let's talk about Dragon Slayer. And on top of that, its 40th anniversary is in June of this year. So, and hopefully it'll get a Blu-ray or 4K release this year, I'm hoping.
Yeah.
Because the movie looks good, but as far as I know, the only 1080 way to experience it in 1080p is through streaming. Or any high definition. So Gene, how did you come across this film?
I have Amazon Prime now, and like kind of I look at a lot of random movies. Films on there are so like weird and interesting almost. They're they got like a lot of like, you know, say what you will, but Amazon, but they have like a lot of interesting selections, even though they don't have the best interface, you know?
Mm-hmm. They're good. Sorry.
Oh no. Yeah. I was just, and they have like, says like all these 80s movies. So, you know, all the, like, my blind spots I'm finding on there, like stuff like, a lot of Arnold movies, like Running Man, I finally saw through there. Through there, I saw like Cobra, things like that, you know, pretty cool.
Yeah, I hear Edgar Wright is doing a remake of that now.
Yeah, so yeah, I just read that. That'll be interesting.
It'll be, yeah, because Edgar Wright doesn't do like thrillers, even though Last Night at Soho is supposed to be a thriller. So we'll see where that goes. Yeah. But yeah, I also saw this on Amazon as well, because I still have the student membership for some reason. I just like clicked on it and watched it, and I was very impressed. Even though there are some story and plotting issues that we'll get to, but overall, I thought this was a fun like fantasy, like gonzo fantasy movie.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's very fantastical. It's very like heavy metal, like those comics, you know, it's very different, I would say. I was really enjoying it.
Yeah, and then I was doing the wiki kind of wiki research on this, and found out that the cinematographer of Alien, this was his only other movie he like DP'd.
Yeah, that's wild, man.
I know, and it looks good. Like the movie looks fantastic. Yeah,
it really does. Like a lot of those effects are used like later in like Empire Strikes Back and a lot of Star Wars movies too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this was done by the same like people, like ILM, like Phil Tippett and Ken Ralston, like a lot of the people that were like kind of the under, I don't want to say under tier, but coming up the ranks of ILM, they did a lot of the effects of this movie, and built miniatures and built like the actual like dragon head and stuff. You know, really good stuff here. Yeah. I was very like just impressed by just like how much they got away with just showing very little.
Like, yeah. I mean, it's kind of like, I don't know if it was lower budget, but like they kind of really worked with what they had, I would imagine.
I wouldn't say it was lower budget. It was like an $18 million movie.
Oh, okay.
So it was sort of mid-tier for this time. But yeah, but to be fair, I mean, it's really hard to make a movie with a dragon.
Yeah.
Unless you're doing Pete's Dragon where you just animate it, like, you know.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say it's not as hard, but, you know, it's hard to do like a dragon in, you have to be very careful with your shots. Can't just build a full dragon like you do in Game of Thrones, or you can't use a full body CG dragon.
Yeah.
But I was still like impressed. And so we don't normally do this, but I think this story should be pointed out here. Gene, what is the story of, or the plot of Dragon Slayer?
Yeah, so it's like a fantasy film that's, it's very Joseph Campbell-esque, I would say, in a way. I'm not sure if you got that, but you know, this wizard, him and his apprentice are he's kind of like the last sorcerer, and he gets called by an expedition for help against a dragon, and there's, you know, this bastard king that's like just killing virgin girls by a lottery to kind of like appease the dragon. So, you know, it's this quest of this like hero's journey of this younger man, and he like has to kind of like grow and kind of have this I don't know, like a manhood, I guess. He's like becoming a man, so, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's his like journey to as a man, I guess.
Yeah, and then, yeah, I mean, it's Matthew Robbins and Hal Broderick, I think that's their name. They really, which for me, with that, I kind of got from it, Hal Barwood, excuse me.
Yeah.
They were trying to kind of they were kind of doing the hero with the mentor or the wise sage character, but they were also kind of trying to do, you know, but they were trying not to do Star Wars, because Star Wars, right, basically just like cracked the formula.
Yeah. It's funny you say that, because Ian McDermott's in this movie, actually, the Emperor. He has a very small role.
Yeah. I was very surprised when I saw him, and then he gets burned, and then I said to myself, oh, this is the Emperor Palpatine origin story.
Yeah, it's ironic, but then he'll come back. He was actually alive somehow.
Yes.
Somehow
he survived. That's Palpatine's trick. He just, you know, somehow can survive death.
So, oh man, let's not get started on Rise of Skywalker bullshit movie.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh.
Still stings.
Yeah, so salty.
Anyway, but yeah, I was very, but yeah, it's that kind of approach. But also, they are very much drawing from the short film in
Oh,
Fantasia, the
yeah.
Sorcerer's Apprentice.
Right.
And also, they're kind of borrowing from the other like Fantasia segment where Mickey is doing battle with, what is it, Cthulhu?
I think
I
so.
think maybe I
Yeah.
miss it. I haven't seen this short in a while, so pardon me if I don't remember this.
All
But yeah, and then they're kind of, and then, later on they're kind of researching this Saint George and the dragon. And then, and then they finally kind of, and then these guys kind of finally wrote a script and somehow convinced Paramount and Walt Disney to work together for the second time after Popeye. Robert Altman's classic film. And then things, things kind of just took off from there. A lot of the bud movie's budget had to go, or a good bit of the budget had to go to the special effects, of course.
Makes sense.
And then of course you got the Phil Tippett, who is now like the stop motion animation genius. He basically came up with like the dragon design and did the animation for it. And then you have people like Chris Wallace who sculpted and operated the dragon's head for close-up shots. I mean, this was a movie that really used as much of the visual effects, say optical, stop motion, practical. They tried to use as much as they could for this film on this one. So,
Yeah.
but still, it's, and it's impressive.
Yeah, I would say so. Like I think George R.R. Martin said that the dragons in this is like his favorite dragon. How it looks and like how he I guess that inspired him in the book, for Game of Thrones, all the dragons. Kind
And
of see the
to
influence.
and if you look very closely, the design for hold on, I'm scrolling
Sure.
down for the dragon that's called Vermitrox Pejorative. I'm sure I just butcher that.
Sorry.
it's very like the dragon itself is very much designed similarly to the to one of the dra to the dragons themselves on Game of Thrones. So I mean, Game of Thrones very much takes from this movie, and it takes a lot from it. Like this movie, it takes, kind of the R-ratedness of it. I mean, this is a pretty brutal movie still. For, I mean, it's not like blood and guts are everywhere, but I mean, there's still people getting on fire and, and blood. And I mean, there's a scene where a princess is just being devoured by little baby dragons. So,
Yeah.
yeah, it's a pretty gnarly film for a Disney.
It's very like co-production, to be fair. It's like a co-production from Disney. They didn't like slap the label on it. They're like, oh, wait a second. And this is also 80s Disney, so this is the era where they were taking chances. So like Tron, probably I think that was the same year. Tron's 1981.
1982.
1982, excuse me, The Black
Right.
Hole. And also, I don't know, I'm sure if you've seen it, Something Wicked Comes This Way. I finally saw that recently.
No, I haven't. Oh, by the way, Dragon Slayer is actually rated PG.
Oh, I see. That was like a PG-13 though, because they didn't have PG-13 till like what, Temple of Doom?
Right. Well, even after that, I think, I mean, Temple of Doom is still PG, as along with Gremlins. So, yeah, I think, yeah, that's crazy. This is cr a crazy PG movie.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, Jaws has a guy's leg just like fallen, you just see the bone and stuff in it. But yeah, it's but still like PG.
Yeah.
And actually, speaking of Jaws, Matthew Robbins and Hal Barwood actually wrote Spielberg's first movie.
Oh,
Sugarland.
Really? Sugarland, excuse me.
Well, first like theatrical release film.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people say Duel is the first one, but Sugarland is like the actual like, oh, this was actually meant to be released in theaters.
Right.
But yeah. So what else can we dive for this movie?
I guess kind of the topic I was texting you about, I think you would probably be the more kind of knowledgeable person kind of about some of the representation, I guess, in the movie.
So in the movie there is this, you know, both there's two things going on in this movie. There is a kind of, there is this like kind of underlining, you know, subtextual pansexuality to the our main character Galen, as mm-hmm. he's very much attracted to our character Valerian,
yeah,
who at the start of this movie is a boy, which we'll get to that in just a second. We'll get into like the other part of that too, but you know, there's this kind of, you know pansexuality that runs through the film, in that, you know, Galen very much takes more of Valerian's side and more of Valerian's interest as a, you know, as a character. And you know, and I know that Matthew Robbins and how they Borwood, they probably didn't intend on it being there, but there is, yeah, that.
Yeah, it's like
it's very subtle.
Yeah, it's like Freddy, was it Nightmare on Elm Street 2, Freddy's Back, or
it's not like that.
Oh, okay. Oh,
it's not on that level, because that's almost, that's purely overtly.
That's textual. This is like more subtext. Oh yeah. No, but I was making that comparison because apparently the director didn't even know that it was supposed to be queer subtext in Nightmare on Elm Street 2. He was just like, oh, I guess so, huh?
I mean, that's its own, well, I mean, I'll get into that conversation, yeah, no, later, sure. But yeah, I mean, no, but the movie was written, no, yes, theory on Nightmare 2 is that it was written for, you know, as a queer allegory, but then no one told the director it was a queer allegory, because, but that's its own, that's my theory, and I'll save it for a different,
oh yeah,
I'll save it for a different day. Mm-hmm. When I have, yeah, when we'll save it for a different one, but you know, going back to Dragon Slayer, there is that, you know, pansexuality in it, where the character very much takes the more tomboyish, you know, Valerian versus the princess.
Yeah.
Elsbeth, goodness, Elsbeth. So, and that's really, you know, and that was a fascinating way to kind of, because and also it's a kind of a turn in that she, you know, in that, you know, most of those characters usually go for the princess.
Yeah, yeah, it kind of reminds me of, yeah, you know, kind of like, you know, the classic archetype, like the, you know, like Star Wars, everyone's after Leia, you know, not Luke after a certain point.
Yeah.
And the other thing was that, you know, other movies actually, I've seen this trope before, like, I think the King Arthur movie, which I've hyped up on Twitter, me and Diego, and or whatever.
I love it.
Yeah. He doesn't go after the princess, I believe, in that. There's like a princess character. He goes after kind of the mage.
The wizard. Remake,
the wizard, yeah. He goes after her. She's not the classic princess archetype. And then the other thing was, like, in the remake of Clash of the Titans, he like doesn't even go after the princess. He goes after like his mentor, like weird protector that's been known, yeah, him since birth, you know. So this is like a long line of
fantasy characters that just go after, that don't go after the princess.
Yeah, you know, the princess is not worth it. Look at Zelda, you know, Link has to
Or Super
constantly,
Mario.
yeah, Mario has to constantly save Peach. You know, they're not worth it, these princesses.
They're there. I don't know if we would say that, but you know it. But it's like, you know, at a certain point, you just want to go, look, I'm going over here now.
Yeah.
You know, you gotta do your own self work and self. You know, yeah, you gotta think for yourself sometimes, occasionally.
Yeah.
And then on the other side of it too, so because this movie has that specific rule of you only virgin women get into this lottery,
Yeah.
only so the character Valerian has to suppress her femininity and take on this mas you know masculine persona just to not have to, because this movie's kind of weird because like why would it be just virgin women, like what is it, like I like that's kind of my thing. I know there's you know all these like myths and legends about you know the about virgins and the purity of virginities and all this, but to me in my mind I kind of just keep thinking why would this be a rule? Like, you know, because then the, you know, why would this be a rule? Like, how are you going to make sure that, how's it, like, anyway,
Yeah,
this is
no,
a
it's
rabbit hole.
yeah.
I'm diving into a rabbit hole here. But, you know, but because of that, you know, that rule, it makes her suppress her own, you know, her own gender, her own
Yeah.
femininity, and to the point where, you know, it's this incredible, awe-inspiring moment when she finally gets to wear a dress.
Yeah, and she looks, you know, she's a very attractive woman too. I mean, you know.
Well, yeah, and she gets, you know, she, you know, gets out of this kind of like musky look, you know, boyish look into this clean, you know, this clean, you know, purity, I guess, you know. Femininity look, and it's a great moment in the movie because it's a moment of celebration because she thinks the dragon has been like entombed, even though that's not the case.
Yeah, that dragon takes a while to die. It's bullshit.
I know, like God, just do it.
Bullshit dragon, goddamn.
I mean, this dragon goes through a lot. He gets entombed, in his fiery lake. He gets stabbed like three or not once, not twice, but like four different times with a spear. In like some fatal, you know, some near fatal, like 1 inch closer to the brain, the thing could have been dead.
Yeah.
And then he just like blows up the end. Like this dragon takes a beating. And so also, are we supposed to suggest that the dragon is, you know, asexually reproducing? Because that's their that's what their baby that's what the babies are, right? The little dragon monsters.
Right. Yeah, I think it's asexual, like Godzilla.
Like Roland Emmerich's Godzilla.
Yeah. The regular Mike Godzilla might be too.
Oh, okay. Dang it, it's the
It's implied.
radiation.
Yeah, it's implied because Godzilla Jr. is in the Toho movie, he's the Minya. They never show a
Okay.
mate, so
Yeah. Maybe that'll be the twist of Godzilla versus Kong. They come together to make babies.
oh
That's
yeah,
gonna be the
Kong.
twist.
Well, I was gonna say I make this joke to a lot of people. I hope they like hook up him and Godzilla because they're both kings. They have a lot more in common than they think, and they're both like the last of their kinds. So, you know, a lot of sexual tension there.
Yeah, it's just that's what the real twist in the movie is. It's really just Mr. and Mrs. Smith with monsters.
Yeah, Godzilla's kind of feminine too. Lays eggs and you know, but.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, kind of like this this I don't know, there's like a trope in movies where kind of like the female disguises herself as a man to like, you know, like Mulan or something. And I don't know, yeah, like in Mulan where it's like someone's like disguised like attracted to them, even though they're masquerading. You know, I don't know, Twelfth Night or whatever. Oh no, yeah, it's an interesting subtext to talk about and unpack for sure.
Yeah, I mean, and to be fair to movies that explore this more, Dragon Slayer doesn't dive deep into these ideas a lot. It doesn't, in fact, part of my negative criticism towards Dragon Slayer is it doesn't really think a whole lot about anything other than the whole lottery system, which,
It's about class and, class disparity, social norms, things like that.
Yeah, that's about, in any kind of social or political aspect that kind of survives this movie is the lottery system and what it means. Because if there was any problem that I had with this movie is its plotting is very nonsensical. Like
Yeah, it's kind of bullshit.
It's not only bullshit, but it's just like scatterbrained. Like it's just kind of feels like a movie that had a longer cut or had a bigger script. And then for budgetary or just timing, they just edited like massive chunks out of it. And this is just what survived because it cost the most. And that's kind of, but I mean, still, I mean, this was still like a fun 80s movie. And I can see like why this became such a cult film because for the longest time, this was like the cool, I can see this being like the coolest dragon movie.
Yeah, dude, like George R. R. Martin, he was like, hell yeah.
Well, I mean, this is probably like the one movie where like dragons got to be dragons for the little bit. And and because the only time you ever got to imagine it or see it was either in animation like Sleeping Beauty, with the big giant scene at the end with the prince, or you got to or you just got to read about it in like The Hobbit or other books or Beowulf, so or classic poems like Beowulf. So this is as far as we could get for, dragon in cinematic entertainment, as far as I can think of. I enjoyed this quite a bit. Anything else we should talk about?
Just the beauty and kind of like the cinematography, because I believe you were saying that from it's the guy, the cinematographer of Alien, and it's just
Derek
like,
Van Lent or
yeah,
Volant.
it's just a beautiful looking film. Like, and it just inspires me to play like some Dungeons and Dragons if any of the listeners are into that nerdy stuff that I like, nerdy shit.
It's kind of coming back now. I mean, it's kind of becoming, popular with.
With because it's like for like if you're in an apartment or a household of like three or four people, there you go, that's your whole afternoon. And I just got my vaccine shot this morning, and I was going to create a vaccinated league of D&D players when we all get it, so
Yeah,
more incentive to get the vaccine.
and until and for now, just do it on Zoom, I guess, or
Yeah,
Skype.
stay safe, please, for the love of God. We're so close to, beating this, saving lives, getting out of this terrible situation. Stay home.
Yes. Yes, it's a very real disease, and please wear your masks
Oh, yeah.
and keep your hands sanitized. Those hand sanitizer buckets or sanitation stations are there for a reason.
Yes, exactly.
So they're there for a reason. And that was and yeah, just play it safe. We're almost there. And then we can all watch what, James Bond together, I guess.
Yeah,
I don't
let's
know.
watch No Time to Die. I've like lost track of all these movies, man. I don't know what movies were supposed to come up.
I mean, I can vaguely remember some of this, but yeah, it's insane.
Yeah, crazy, man.
We were supposed to get James Bond almost a year ago.
Yeah, let's not talk about
Okay. Yeah. Sore
that's gonna
subjects.
Make me, that's going to make me cry.
Yeah.
Because it's like, if that kept the release date originally, what it was supposed to be, like, what, November of 2019, we could have seen that movie. It's a cursed production. It's a cursed movie. It was delayed in pre-production, in production, in post-production.
Yeah, don't... I mean, maybe... I'm very happy that Cary Yoji or Joji Fukunaga got to do this movie. But it's like, hey, if you stuck with Danny Boyle, you know, probably wouldn't be in this situation. I mean, a lot of productions are cursed because, like, Wonder Woman pretty much got delayed a whole year, if you think about it, because it was supposed to come out in November 2019, and then it got pushed to June. So, and then they just pushed it till end of last year.
Yeah. It's nuts. It's a unmilligated, like, crazy time right now.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, but hey, Netflix is still releasing a bunch of their movies. You know, so check out whatever they got going on.
Yeah.
And hey, let's be glad we have WandaVision.
Yeah, I love WandaVision. That last, I don't want to spoil it for anyone, but the last cliffhanger on the last episode was amazing.
Palpatine was behind it all.
Oh my God, no, stop it.
Okay. All right. I understand. I mean, we'll talk about it later, but I think it's been a great show. If anything with WandaVision, it's, sometimes we, the viewers, because we're such fans of this, and some people are just so clued in to the thing, the very thing they're adapting, they're kind of making guesses. They're kind of guessing ahead of what the actual show is doing. Yes. Which you never, when you do a mystery show, you never want to be behind the audience. You want to be ahead.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, there we go.
But. Yeah. And Dragon Slayer never stays behind, you know, even though it's very clear that the burning, even though when I saw the burning late, I was like, okay, this is all going to have come into later.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I guess that's it for Dragon Slayer. Just go see it on Amazon.
Yeah, it's the only way I think you can watch it in 1080p. I mean, the only problem I have with this version is some of the, like, matte paintings and stuff kind of look don't age well, but I mean, that's just going to happen with a lot of these 80s movies, unfortunately. So yeah,
exactly.
Even watching, like, the old Superman movies recently, you could tell that some of the stuff wasn't quite working like it should. It's what you can do.
Yeah, exactly.
It's what you can do. All right. Well, in that, Gene, don't you guys have like a podcast or a blog or something?
Yeah, you could follow me on you could follow my personal account, Gene9892, on Instagram and Twitter. But you could also follow the Waffle Press movie podcast run by me and Diego. We have a lot of cool stuff on there. We interviewed director Julian Doane from Sundance. We covered Sundance 2021. We talked to short film Raspberry, which was played as a short, and we're pushing for a lot of Godzilla versus Kong stuff, a lot of monster movie stuff. And check us out at the Waffle Press on Twitter and at the Waffle Press podcast on Instagram, and we're on Spotify, iTunes, Patreon, SoundCloud, and YouTube, all those things. Subscribe.
Yes. I'll have links to the podcast, the YouTube, Gene's Twitter, of course, and all the Waffle Press account stuff, like, in the link in the description below.
Yes.
Gene, thank you so much. We will be back. We'll be back soon. I mean, I don't know what the full list of retrospectives will do. I'll just have to kind of see what came out, you know, around what kind of interesting movies came out this year, or even in other years, subsequent years, we could talk about. But I mean, We'll definitely continue doing retrospectives throughout the year, because in a time where it's not common where we get a big movie every week, February we kind of got a little lucky because we had one weekend where it was just Black Messiah, Robin Wright's Land, more theaters getting Nomadland, or now this weekend, you know, Nomadland's on Hulu.
Yes.
So, I mean, we're getting a little better than we were in a year or 2020, but it's not going to be every week where we talk about the Snyder Cut or Godzilla versus Kong or whatever. We're just, so we'll kind of do retrospectives to kind of fill in the gaps from here on out.
Yeah, life is slowly returning to the movies, but, you know, we'll make it through.
And yeah. This is,
you know, and this is just great. I love just seeing, you know, talking movies with you, hanging out.
Absolutely. This is fantastic. I haven't done this in a couple weeks, or a podcast in a couple weeks. So yeah, this is fantastic. All right. Gene, thank you for coming. Everyone, thanks for listening. We'll be back very soon with a new podcast episode. And of course, check out Gene and Diego on the Red Waffle Press.
Pure and simple.
Thank you.
You want me to do battle with that?
Behold, for I am chosen. I shall die that many may live.
Twice each year, the king selects a new victim. Chosen by lot. Girls. Virgins.
Your king made a pact with a monster.
But your children were dying.
Only a few. Does that sound cruel?
Blacksmith, have you ever forged a weapon?
An edge like no other on this earth.
Dragon Slayer, coming from Paramount Pictures.